This is the Last Minute Blues Podcast with Donnie Fandango, Jeff Burton, Alex Ferrario, and former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers.
It is the Last Minute Blues Podcast. Donnie Fandango joined in studio by Jeremy Rutherford from The Athletic. And first of all, we got to give a shout out to our homeboy Alex Ferrario, who is sick and couldn't join us today. And Alex works so goddang hard. He's got two little kids at home, also with a pregnant wife. There is a lot going on in the Ferrario household. So when he messaged us this morning, I just felt so bad for the dude, man.
Yeah, Donnie, that poor Alex. And I sit next to him every Blues home game. And so last night, you know, we're breaking down the game. And you could kind of tell voice was a little shaky. And then I drove home and caught him on the post game. So a lot of hours on the air. You know that better than anybody. I mean, to have to come on and use your voice nonstop. I'm fortunate. I get these sausage fingers. I just get the typewriter going and have to type and don't use that voice.
Man, the worst is when you're losing that voice and you're doing everything that you can to, you know, to try to keep it. You're resting it, you're drinking warm water with whatever that you're doing, but you're fighting against the inevitable. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like at some point, you just got to shut her down, and there's no way that you're going to get better if you don't.
And it's so funny because I think Jamie Rivers is going through that right now a little bit. Kerry Davis on the 101 side. You know, for 20 years, I've bumped into broadcasters who Chris Kerber, they'll go through a period where they're, you know, they're sipping on the honey, they're drinking this. You probably got all the concoctions, right? And as a sports writer, I just say, okay, you're doing the honey, I'm doing the beer. You know, I'm trying to help myself.
Man, that's one of the, and I'm not a big drinker, but that's one of the few times. Like, there was something a few months ago where, like, Mary made me a little concoction and put some, like, whiskey in it. And, again, I am not a whiskey drinker. I'm a wuss. I hate how that stuff tastes. But, whoa, buddy. It sure opened up the old flipping sinuses and stuff, man. I felt it.
It's funny that you say whiskey because I've got some relatives who, let's say they're 60, 70 years old. They'll tell stories about, you know, they were gumming, they were teething, and their parents gave them, some whiskey when they were, you know, little bitty, right? Well, now they're drinkers, like heavy drinkers, and I'm trying to figure out what the connection is.
Right.
Like, maybe I shouldn't give my kids some.
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty good idea. I think you did make the connection, as a matter of fact. So, a lot going on here in the world of the NHL. Obviously, the Blues didn't win last night against Colorado. And, like, you know, I understand how people get, like, really annoyed with moral victories and things like that. And I don't necessarily think that this is a moral victory. I mean, they lost. They lost more ground in the standings, you know. But they played that team tough. And we had seen Blues efforts throughout the course of this year that were not great throughout. And I thought that if that game, once Colorado scored first, I thought, man, this could get crazy here real quick. But the Blues locked it down. And again, they didn't win, but they fought. And, you know, man, again, not perfect. I wish we could have got the points out of there, but they played a hell of a game and had a really good homestand on top of it.
Yeah, Donnie, I was talking to a friend yesterday afternoon before the game about the upcoming Blues-Colorado game, and we talked about, is this a must-win? And, you know, obviously you get to this point of the year, they're all must-wins. But I felt like, and this is the conversation I had, if they played Colorado tough, if they played them hard, there's still a couple games in the schedule where you have some wiggle room that you're going to lose a few. And obviously, you're not going to win them all. But what I'm saying is you can point to a couple games and say, okay, that's probably going to be an L. And last night was one of them. Mm-hmm. Colorado, I mean, I was in awe watching them. And Braden Schenn said it after the game. They just keep coming at you. I think Braden Schenn, if we had the soundbite, he said it seems like they're all 6'3" and skate a 4'4", you know, 40-yard dash and just fly. But I think the Blues played a good game, and I think they can use that as some momentum, even though they lost, you know, going down the stretch here. Hey, we played this way against Colorado. It's just tough to swallow because you know, your young players didn't hurt you, right? Toropchenko scored a goal. Neighbors continues to be Neighbors. Zach Bolduc's chipping in where you expect him to. But the mistakes by the veterans. You saw the turnover by Pavel Buchnevich, and you saw the penalty taken by Jordan Kyrou. Those are things that if you want to beat that team, just can't happen.
You can't, because the one mistake that you make, they're so good, they're just going to turn it into a goal. There was a point in the first period, and I don't exactly remember the timing of it, but Colorado had it in their offensive zone. And I mean, the passing, the puck movement. It was like a clinic. And you're just watching this going, listen, I love my guys. I love my Blues team. But it is incredibly clear that it's different classes of teams here. I mean, the Avs are just loaded. I mean, if they won the Stanley Cup, even with that goaltending, I would not be surprised. It just seems like you say, they just keep coming and coming and coming. The speed, the size, it's really remarkable.
And let's keep this in mind. You know, you're talking about a March game where the Colorado Avalanche have won 6 in a row, so they're playing with house money. Could they lose a game if they afforded to? You know, they're playing the St. Louis Blues. They could, you know, I don't want to say not show up, but it could be a game where, okay, trap game, you look past the St. Louis Blues. That's how they play in a game in that situation. Can you imagine what the first round, second round of the playoffs are going to be with the Colorado Avalanche? That's why I think in this debate that we've had for a couple of weeks, months now, you know, is it better for the Blues to make the playoffs or potentially get a pick that's a little bit higher? That's why a lot of people tell you get that playoff experience, because if you've got some Blues players who haven't been in the playoffs, you know, not only are they going to, you know what it's like, they're going to see the intensity level. They're going to see how much they're going to need to raise their game to be even on the same sheet of ice with a Colorado Avalanche. So, you know, you can think that you know what it's like, but until you get in the playoffs, you don't. And if you see a Colorado team play the way it did last night, like I said a second ago, just imagine what that's going to look like in the first round.
When they're locked in and tuned in and ready for the playoff push. I tell you the one thing, as you're telling me about how Colorado plays and also wanting some of our young guys to get playoff experience, I adore Jake Neighbors as a regular season player. Holy bejeebus. What happens when that guy's got playoff motivation? I mean, he was last night, he had another tremendous game. He even spent some time on the number one line. What do we got to do to keep him there, JR? Because I feel like he friggin' deserves it. Not only because he's always busting his ass, but he's producing results as well.
Yeah, so you want to see the Jake Neighbors with the beard, the playoff beard, right?
Yeah, that's buddy. The one you want to see. I wonder if that young man could even put it together at this point.
That'd be amazing. Yeah, I remember like guys like TJ Oshie back in the day, they'd have like the peach fuzz trying to get it.
Little patches here and there.
It's amazing. Some guys can do it and some guys can't, but we'll have to wait and see what happens with Jakey there. But yeah, he did get the bump up to that top line. You know, it looked great. He and Shen made the play where, you know, Jake came up with the loose puck and 2-on-1 with Braden Shen, and he sets up Shen for the goal. You know, that line looks good. I would think that Drew Bannister would keep Jake Neighbors up there for the next game against the Ottawa Senators. You know, top line, second line, we talk about this all the time. Right now, they're kind of moving guys around. I mean, Buchnevich is basically a top line player for the Blues, but out of necessity, he's playing center on that second line. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think though, Donnie, that last night was a clear indication that they're not happy with what they're seeing from Jordan Kyrou. Not only did he get bumped to the second power play unit in the last game, but now last night, you know, Jake Neighbors takes his spot and Kyrou goes down to that second line. So, you know, you're not going to go anywhere unless he's helping you. And so they're going to need to have him on board. And last night, just a couple hiccups. And not just him. Buchnevich had the turnover that led to the game-winning goal. So, you know, the lines are what they are right now. But I was glad to see Jake Neighbors get rewarded for the way he's playing.
Does Jordan Kyrou need a change of scenery?
Yeah, I feel like it's going to get to that point. And people are going to say, well, it's there already. Okay, I get it. But, you know, it's just not that easy.
Yeah.
I mean,
the contract specifically, right?
Right, right. And so, you know, I know we've talked about this at every angle.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you talk about answering the question, does he need a change of scenery? Yeah, I think big picture, if it was that easy, okay, where's a good fit for Jordan Kyrou? Is that team interested? What do the Blues have to give up? Because here's the thing. This is the biggest thing in this whole question. Like, are you paying a team to take Jordan Kyrou, or is there a team out there that sees something that they like and thinks with the change of scenery, he'll be just fine, and you don't have to add what they call in the, you know, around the NHL circles, you know, sweeteners. Sweeteners being draft picks, assets. Okay, if you would take Jordan Kyrou, we would give you this prospect or this draft pick. I mean, there's things where the Blues might have to entertain that idea of what they're going to pay to move Jordan Kyrou. So you know, again, some people are going to say it's already past that point. You know, believe me, I've heard from all different levels of fans, even fans who say keep him, he'll be fine. So, but I think we're getting there. And the key date that you have to remember is going into that 25-26 season. That's when his no trade kicks in. Just to refresh people, when you sign that big contract, 8 times $8.125 million, he got a no trade in it. But because of the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement in the NHL, that no trade cannot kick in until you turn 27 or you've had 7 years of service in the league. That won't happen until before that 2025 season. So right now the Blues could trade him to any team, but it's going to become a more pressing issue as you get to 2025 and you have to make a deal prior to that no trade clause kicking in.
And it seems like a real mess as a fan looking at this, because you're not, you know, if you're moving Jordan Kyrou anytime in the next few months, offseason, whatever, you're definitely not going to be maximizing the trade value for that guy. I mean, you're not going to be able to get what you could have gotten maybe a year or so ago because of all of these questions, obviously, that we have seen, that obviously other folks in the NHL have seen. But it just, what's it going to take to get through to the dude? And when you have got one guy that is supposed to be such a difference maker who so often is not, it just is so freaking frustrating. It's like I could almost feel the booze start again when he touches the puck. And I'm not saying that we're there yet, but I feel like this has a chance for the fans to go back and to turn on him again.
Yeah, it definitely could, Donnie. And it's twofold, because not only are we seeing the mistakes that are leading to issues for the Blues, whether it be the penalty that, you know, Colorado ends up scoring on the power play, but it's the lack of production that you're also not getting. So you can talk about the mistakes are hurting you, but also, you know, let's say that he was just kind of even keel, he wasn't making the mistakes. You need the production. Like, if you're putting a guy 19 minutes top line right wing and paying him $8.125 million, you need to be able to count on a goal every third game, and that's just not happening. So you know, the Blues are in a situation where they have a lot of other issues too, so it's not just Jordan Kyrou is not producing and therefore they can't get to the next level. They're going to have to get the rest of their house in order too as we move forward through this retool. But big picture, looking at the Blues future, you like Snuggerud, you like Dvorsky, you like all the things that are going to be coming together in the next couple of years, but there's this cloud that kind of hangs overhead. What's going to happen with that Jordan Kyrou situation?
Well, and it's also too, at the same time, I'm kind of fascinated, and not that the situations are apples to apples, I understand, but in sort of watching what is going on in Pittsburgh with Crosby and Malkin and Carlson and all of those sorts of things, and how Kyle Dubas is going to try to figure that mess out. I feel like I feel like they're kind of both in the same boat with, boy, oh boy, we have got a lot to do, and I don't see a clear path in trying to start making the moves to make it happen.
Yeah, and you know what? I haven't thought about it this way until you just brought that up, but a lot of people don't envy the position that Doug Armstrong's in, but they would probably take his position over Kyle Dubas's, because here's the deal. You have a Sidney Crosby who's still playing unbelievably, right? But then you have Malkin and you have Letang on term two. And what are you going to do with those guys? Like, it is so hard for an executive in this league to have to part with some players like that. Now, granted, they just signed a couple, you know, Letang and Malkin to those contracts. And Crosby, I mean, you're just going to have to continue to roll out the red carpet until he can't play or doesn't want to play anymore. At least Doug, if he could make a move with some of these veterans with contracts, a lot of the fans would just say, do it.
Right.
Whereas Kyle Dubas in Pittsburgh has to deal with the sentimental value of some of those guys.
Man, which makes it all that much more difficult. I want to kind of go all over the place, but one thing that I've wanted to ask you guys specifically over the course of the last couple weeks, but we just ran out of time, is I wanted to bring up Vince Dunn and Jake Waldman. It's obviously super easy once a player goes somewhere else and they have some success to do the what if, what if, what if, what if game. So that's what I want to do. So with Dunn and Waldman, they have went on, Seattle and Detroit respectively, to have, you know, really good careers. And I believe that Dunn is even in the top pairing in Seattle, if I'm not mistaken. Were those guys just not going to get the ice time here that they needed to develop to become the players that they are? Is that why the Blues ended up moving them? Or did the Blues not see their ceiling to be where it's kind of went.
Yeah. So when I look at questions like this where, you know, you're looking at maybe a trend or you're looking at a couple different players, I try to separate them because, and I know you'll understand this, but like it's hard to say, you know, this is the answer with both guys because mm-hmm. all the scenarios are different. So yeah. You look at Jake Wallman first. Like this guy can skate like the wind. He's got a shot. And the Blues gave him some opportunity in the third pair, and he did okay with it. And then in a pinch, he had to kind of climb up the lineup a little bit. You know, they gave him a few games here and there in the top pair. And you saw some mistakes, but that happens with all young players. But the Blues, for years, and this is what hurt Wallman and Dunn a little bit, is they had a great defense, right, with Pietrangelo and Parayko. And you go back, Shattenkirk and
Bouwmeester in there.
Bouwmeester, yeah. All those guys. So it's hard. You know, there isn't a GM in the league who's going to say, hey, let's move Vince Dunn and Jake Wallman up to the top pair. So the Blues needed a veteran established guy. They identified Nick Leddy. They moved Jake Wallman to Detroit in that move. So then Wallman goes to Detroit. Well, guess what? They're going through a massive rebuild. Mm-hmm. You know, they're years in the making trying to put this thing together. All of a sudden, they got this young guy who can skate. They give him top pair opportunity, and he takes off with it. And he did so in part because of the experience that he got in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Also, maybe change of scenery. We talked about it with Kyrie the other day. So Wallman says, okay, Blues, you don't think I can play? Watch me go play. Now, with Dunn, the Blues had to lose somebody in the expansion draft.
Right.
They tried to trade Vince Dunn so that they didn't just lose him in the expansion draft. I believe that the best they could probably get at the time was like a third-round pick. That's what was out there. So not only did that show that the Blues maybe weren't wrong in not moving him up the lineup, but also there were teams around the league that didn't see that in Vince Dunn. So now he shows up in Seattle in the expansion draft. Seattle looks around, okay, who do we got for defense? Hey, let's try Vince Dunn up there. He can skate, and he plays well, and again, got some experience in St. Louis. So, yes, on the surface, and I'm not saying you were doing this, but people can say, why would you let these two guys go?
Yeah.
Well, at the time, you can't keep everybody.
Right.
You had a good defense, and these guys are showing a little bit of promise, not a lot. They've gone to two teams that really needed them, put them in a high-profile spot, and they've both done well.
It was really amazing. When back in November, I went with Mary to see Depeche Mode at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. And you know how they've got the banners for the players.
Yeah.
And when I first walk in, there's a Jake Wallman. And I was, well, I'll be darned. Well, good for the kid. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't think that Jake Wallman was going to get to a point in his NHL career where he was banner worthy. So freaking good for the guy, you know? More than anything else, I think I just look now at our defense with question marks, and I just wonder more than anything else. Not saying that it would be better if one or both of those guys were here, but more than anything else, just kind of curious.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The only thing is, like, it's not a deal where 3 or 4 years ago you looked ahead and projected the D and you say, okay, you know, Wallman will be in our top pair by then. Like, it just evolved the way it did.
Yeah.
You brought in a Torrey Krug. You know, those are moves that maybe Blues fans say you didn't have to make because you had a Wallman. But at the time, they wanted a Nick Leddy, and they made that move. So I feel like you could look at almost every team in the league and find two or three guys that got away and say, hey, they could be here doing that.
Dude, 100%. Yeah. Nathan Walker, yes, please.
Beast mode.
Just yes, please. He is always chirping at somebody, and just the way in which that he plays. And I think it's pretty telling that the last few contracts for next year and the year after have been for guys like him, for Walker, for Kessel, for who am I missing here? Sonny just got another. You know, like, it seems to me that, like, the Blues are making a priority of signing this type of player that could help them as they're rebuilding and going in the you know, different direction.
Yeah, you work hard, go to Doug Armstrong's office and get a contract, right?
Right? That's
what it's been like, yeah. I think it's twofold. I think that, you know, we have to say this up front, is these guys are cheap because the Blues, you know, we don't know yet until we hear from Tom Stillman, the chairman, of, you know, what kind of payroll are they going to carry? Because it is going to go up $4 million during the retool. Are they going to continue to spend to the cap as they've done since this ownership group came in? You know, I don't think that they will or that they should.
No, they shouldn't.
Necessarily. But if you're gonna continue to want a team that St. Louis identifies with, a hardworking team, and get through this period, you're going to need Sundqvists. You're going to need Toropchenkos. You're going to need Jake Nabors, and you're going to need a Nathan Walker. And listen, I'm sure, I don't know what it's like to be in his shoes his whole career, but I'm sure he's just been doubted and doubted and doubted because of his size. And to me, on this Blues roster of, what's it, up to 25 players right now, he's one of the most fun guys to watch.
Absolutely.
He brings it. I tweeted it last night. He brings it every night. So you had the fight a few nights ago. Last night just laid this big lick on a guy. Actually, a hit, not a lick, if, you know, people not familiar
right.
with it. And just does everything.
And so. Is he even 6 foot tall?
No.
No,
not a chance.
Man.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, you know, man, I understand that you can't win a Stanley Cup with a team full of these guys. I understand that there's a very fine balance for it all. But I tell you what, when I watch that fourth line, they get their goddamn money's worth. And that's really all I can friggin' ask, you know? And also, too, it seems like the third line, specifically Kevin Hayes here lately, has kind of amped up his game. Hayes specifically, I feel like he's been more noticeable the last week or so.
Yeah, he definitely has. And, you know, maybe moving his feet a little bit. But, you know, that line's been good with Kapanen, and then also Saad was on it. But now they moved Bolduc on it. So that line's been good. But Donnie, you're right. That fourth line, I think, is a line. The Blues struggled to put together three guys to play together the past couple of years on that fourth line. And even Walker didn't start the year with the team this year. He gets called up halfway through. And now Walker, Toropchenko, and Sundqvist, you know, three guys who you know you're going to get it from every night. And last night, how about that? So Walker scores, Toropchenko scores. I was waiting for Sonny to score so you could get the fourth line hat trick.
Oh,
there.
Dude. I would have thrown a hat for that. Absolutely. I don't know if you saw this or not in your NHL travels. But I guess Pasta had a hat trick last night in Boston, okay? And somebody threw a bear costume onto the ice in Boston.
Goodness.
It was the most amazing thing. And what I absolutely hate, what I really hate about all of this, Pat Maroon going there, I'm kind of looking at Boston favorably, and I don't like how I feel about myself. I don't, as a general rule, outside of the Celtics, because of Jason Tatum, St. Louis, I despise Boston sports teams. Despise.
So it sounds like this was going into the 2019 series. Like, this is well established with you in Boston before.
100%.
Okay.
The New England Patriots had a solid decade of kicking the bejesus out of my Bills, and I couldn't do it anymore.
Related.
That's where it started. But it seems like just things going on in Boston. If you have a chance to look at that, because the players are completely amused as this bear costume is coming over the friggin' glass. Only in Boston. So. A couple things here real quick on the way out. I was listening to the game last night in the third period, and with 2.5 minutes left, Kerbs said something along these lines, all right? Sonny and Torpo were on the ice, 2.5 minutes left, and Kerbs said, that should tell you something.
For sure. Yeah, I saw that too. And you know, the end of the game, I know a lot of people understand the importance, just means everything, and it's the trust that the coach has in you, especially a one-goal game. I mean, don't look at a game when it's 4-1 and care who's out on the ice. But when it's 4-3, like it was last night, and you're putting out those guys, it speaks volumes, not only of what Drew Bannister and the coaching staff think of that fourth line and those three guys in particular, but also what he doesn't think of some of his top six forwards, that they're going to be able to hold it down. So
that in and of itself was just such – you know, I mean, it's a bummer to hear, but I think it's also, again, just a reality of where we are right now. And I said it earlier in the podcast, though. When you're seeing the talent level between the Blues and the Avs, I mean, it's apparent.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, you get to a 6-on-5 last night because the Blues pulled the goalie right to get that game-tying goal. And, you know, that's a situation where Jordan Kyrou was out there last night, but he hadn't been out there in some of those situations 6-on-5. So end of the game, hockey fans, watch the last minute, 2 minutes. If your son's out, I'm sorry, when I watch my son play, you know, you want to know what kind of trust the coaching staff has. You know, if he's out there, then it knows the coach has trust in you. Same thing in the NHL.
Man, and you know what? It's the same for us in a roundabout sort of way. I want my boss to know that if something big needs to happen or needs to get done, that he can rely on me to get it done, whatever that is. I take personal pride in knowing that my boss thinks of me that way. Hey, I know Donnie's going to get the job done, even if it's something he doesn't want to do, even if it's not pretty, he's going to get it done to the best of his ability.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what it is. Crunch time, right?
I cannot imagine not having that same sort of personal pride to leave everything that you have wherever you go. I understand we're all different people, but dang it, Jordan Kyrou is driving me friggin' nuts right now.
Wouldn't that eat you alive? Like, wouldn't that eat you alive? Is you're a elite player, and I'm not just talking about Kyrou. I'm talking about whoever.
Anybody.
You know, and you're making the paycheck, and your coach can't put you out there in the final 2 minutes. And now some situations, you're not that type of player that they're looking for, but you can sure be the best that you can be in terms of what they're looking for down the stretch in the last 2 minutes. And no, you're right. Yeah. Same with my boss. There's times where my editor will say, hey, I don't need you in these times here, but when this happens, I really need you.
Yep.
And that's what you and I would take pride in.
And it's just, it's just very tough, you know, for those of us. And I think that's when people start to boo, is when you start to think about it. Like, oh my gosh, I just worked 12 hours in a friggin' factory and I'm paying good money to go watch Jordan Kyrou do friggin' figure eights in the middle of the friggin' ice. I don't love it when our players get booed, but I think I kind of understand it sometimes too at the same time. I didn't start this podcast pissed off, but I friggin' got here. So what do you think, JR? How do you, you know, there's 13 games left, I think, is what we're looking at. I mean, now they've got to jump Minnesota now because Minnesota won last night. They're just kind of running out of time.
Yeah, 13 games left. You almost have to win 10. You know, could you win less than that? Yeah, but you're not giving yourself a great chance. You know, you look at the Blues' schedule, I don't think it's as difficult as the teams they're chasing when you look at Vegas and you look at L.A., and obviously you got to deal with Minnesota too. But, you know, there's just no wiggle room. And so I think it's going to be tough for them to get in. I do think the way they played last night, Braden Schenn said he thinks that it could give them some momentum, even in a loss, to go ahead with the rest of the schedule and get done what they need to. But, you know, Donnie, I'd look back at the season as a whole. The Blues had their games that they could have won where they'd be 5 points up right now, you know, potentially in a playoff race. And I think that they hurt themselves. And so even though this is a retool year and Doug Armstrong, the ceiling for him was kind of, hey, we're going to finish hopefully third in the Central Division. You know, I think we can all see the warts that have the Blues in the spot that they're in. And if they miss, we all know the reasons why they miss. So if they get in, great. You know, that's going to be quite a run in these last 13 games. But I think, as I said, if they miss out on the playoffs, you know, it's clearly, I think, identifiable in front of us what needs to happen, who needs to go, who can stay. And Doug Armstrong, believe me, sees all that.
Yeah, absolutely so. Well, I mean, I think one of the things about being a Blues fan right now, and we can get down about Jordan Kyrou, there's you know, there's things that we can be bummed out about for sure, but I do think that we've got to keep perspective here. Okay, you still have Robert Thomas, you still have Jake Neighbors, you still have Colton Parayko, you still have Jordan Bennington, we've got Snuggerud, we've got Dvorsky. So is I completely understand being frustrated by some of the circumstances right now. Take a breather, everybody. All right, it's gonna be okay. All right. It's just tough. And how Armstrong is going to do this offseason. Let's see how good you are, buddy.
Well,
because you're going to have to be.
Two things. I booked my travel to the draft. It's in Vegas at the Sphere this summer. And so the reason I did that is because I know it's going to be a big summer, and I got to be engaged in what are the Blues going to do and be there, boots on the ground in Vegas. Somebody's got to take one for the team, right?
You got it.
You got to.
Man, that's a tough gig.
And secondly, whoever, if Mike Ryder's listening, whoever puts this podcast today out on social media, you know how sometimes they put a headline on it,
yeah,
and tweet it? It better say, I'm going to go talk to Mike here in a minute.
All right.
Donnie Fandango keeps perspective about the Blues season. He better put Donnie's perspective.
I just, listen, man, if there's one thing that I have really tried to do, as a sports fan, I'm a learner, man. Like, I like to read about I just like to learn. But, you know, man, like, I feel as though as a sports fan, and I didn't think this a long time ago, you know, it's a learning curve. It's a learning process. And so Whereas 10 years ago, I would have gotten pissed off about something. Now I kind of go, okay, well, at least I know why that situation is the way that it is. So I don't find myself yelling as much at games, which I don't really love, but I mean, I guess it's probably better, all things considered. I wonder sometimes what people think when they're like taking walks by our house and we have the windows open and I'm watching a game. Because, you know, sometimes, and I don't know, I'm not cursing or anything like that, but I get rowdy, you know? My kids are old enough now that they, oh, it's just dad yelling at a sports event, so it's not like it scares them or anything like that. So, Jeremy, we got to send good vibes to Alex and the Ferrario clan, and hopefully that they get out from under the weather there. And we always appreciate Alex, and we appreciate you guys listening. For Jamie Rivers, our buddy Jeff Burton, it is Jeremy Rutherford from The Athletic, Donnie Fandango here saying thank you for listening to the Last Minute Blues Podcast. And as always, let's go Blues!
The Last Minute Blues Podcast. Hear more at 1057thepoint.com.